Just as I am without one plea.
Good morning from your friends and neighbors at the Rock Creek Church of Christ in Ottawa, Kansas. The Rock Creek Church of Christ is glad to share this program with you. We hope it will help you as you seek to know God and what His will is for your life.
On our last program, we left off in Mark chapter 1 with the calling of Jesus' first disciples. Jesus has been baptized. John the Baptist has prepared the way for Jesus. Jesus has been baptized. He's been tempted by Satan for 40 days. And now he begins his ministry. The time is at hand. The kingdom of God is here. Repent and believe in the gospel. And with that, he calls his first disciples, Peter, his brother Andrew, as well as James and his brother John. These four men, and especially Peter, James, and John, would form a close circle around Jesus. They would be his closest confidants. And they were fishermen, common men, not educated men from great halls of learning, men who had not sat at the feet of rabbis, but rather common folk. We come into verse number 21. Then they went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath he entered the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. What people noticed about Jesus was his style of teaching was far, far different. This reaction that Mark gives us in verse number 22 is the same reaction that the multitudes gave at the end of what we often call the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapters 5 through 7. And that is a radical lesson. It's a dramatic shift from what people believed to be true in the first century. Jesus was not offering interpretations of the scriptures like the scribes would. He would not quote from what old scribes used to say, but rather he taught as Moses taught, as if it was from the very mouth of God. And indeed it was. In verse number 23, we're told there was a man in that synagogue in Capernaum with an unclean spirit. He cried out saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." Remember what James says in James chapter 2? Even the demons believe and tremble. Yes, the demons knew exactly who Jesus was. Demon possession appears to be something that took place for a period of time in the first century. And again, this was a power given to Jesus and to others as well to demonstrate their authority over the demonic realm. The demon acknowledges who Jesus is. He confesses his belief in Jesus. Jesus, though, in verse number 25 says, "Be quiet and come out of him." And when the unclean spirit had convulsed him and cried out with a loud voice, he came out of him. Then they were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, saying, "What is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority he commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." And immediately his fame spread throughout all the region around Galilee. Jesus didn't have to perform some elaborate incantation. He didn't have to go through some elaborate ritual in order for this demon to be removed. No, when he exorcised this demon, he just said, "Be quiet and come out of him." And that first part, "Be quiet." Be quiet and come out of him. That command is essential. And that's a theme that we're going to pick up on in ensuing miracles. Jesus did not want demons testifying as to who he was. He was telling the demon to be quiet, to stop testifying about his identity. He did not need demons to tell mankind who he was. He wanted mankind to arrive at this conclusion on their own and not from the lips of a lying demon. The people were, of course, amazed. They were amazed because here is this man who is teaching these radical things, these things that were totally unlike what the scribes taught them. Not only was he teaching them something new, he was also showing incredible power. He commands the unclean spirits and they obey him. Again, this is to demonstrate Jesus' authority. And for this reason, his fame spreads all throughout the region of Galilee. In verse 29, Mark says, "Now as soon as they had come out of the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick with a fever, and they told him about her at once. So he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her, and she served them." Jesus has already demonstrated his authority over the demonic realm. Now he's going to show us that he has authority over human diseases, that he is able to heal this woman. Apparently, Simon Peter and Andrew lived here in Capernaum. Simon Peter, also known as Peter, has a wife whose mother is sick. Jesus comes to her, takes her by the hand, lifts her up, and immediately the fever leaves her, and she served them. You know, last week I had a fever, a cold. In fact, I lost my voice last weekend. Had a really terrible time trying to get over that little sickness, and it took me about a week. Here Jesus is able to take a woman by the hand with a fever, and immediately she's healed. Not even the best doctors in the world can offer this kind of healing medicine. Not only did she rise up from her illness, she also served them. So she was showing hospitality. That's a complete recovery, right? When you get over a fever, at least it takes me a few days to recover. I don't feel like quite myself for a few days after that, especially if the fever is very high, very intense. This woman was able to rise up and immediately begin to serve them. What a power. What a miracle. Mark goes on in verse 32. "At evening when the sun had set, they brought to him all who were sick and those who were demon-possessed. And the whole city was gathered together at the door. Then he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he did not allow the demons to speak because they knew him." So his reputation has spread quite quickly, hasn't it? By sundown, you've got people bringing all sorts of sick, all sorts of possessed people to Jesus, to the point that Mark says the whole city was gathered at the door. Now, it doesn't appear that Jesus was able to heal all of them, but he healed many of them. And again, notice in verse number 34, Jesus did not allow the demons to speak. As I mentioned earlier, even the demons believe and tremble. When Jesus cast out that demon in the synagogue, he did not want him to speak. And Mark tells us why, because they knew him. The demons knew who he was. Jesus does not need the testimony of demons. He doesn't need those that are allied with Satan to confess him before men. In fact, that's not the sort of witness that he wants, even if these beings were compelled to do so. No, Jesus wants them to be silent, to cast them out and allow the miracle to speak for itself. In verse 35, Mark tells us, "In the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him. When they found him, they said to him, 'Everyone is looking for you.' But he said to them, 'Let us go into the next town that I may preach there also, because for this purpose I have come forth.' And he was preaching in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and casting out demons." Now, I appreciate the example of Jesus in these two verses. You know, we can walk away with the impression that Jesus was just busy all the time, and he was busy quite a lot. And in fact, there are moments later on in his ministry where he will see the sick and the lame and the demon-possessed coming to him, and rather than take time for himself, he'll go minister to them. But we also see Jesus in this particular instance taking a moment to pray. He set aside a time at the beginning of the day to pray and to withdraw himself. You know, in our fast-paced lives, with all the things that we have going on, these are the sorts of moments that we can overlook, ignore. We can convince ourselves that I don't have time to just take 15, 20, or 30 minutes to pray and just be at peace. I don't have time for that. Well, what I have discovered in my own life is I need that sort of time. I need that sort of restoration. Maybe it's just me and my personality, but I don't think that's the case. I think we all need to disconnect for a few minutes each day, to remove ourselves from interacting with others, from not feeling the burden of responsibility of people pulling on us, and just withdraw to our quiet place, to pray, to commune with God, and just to take some time away. Jesus gives us an excellent example in this regard, and I think we should take his example to heart. And yet he knows that there is business to take care of. When his disciples find him, he says, let's go into the next town. There's a lot we've got to do. So Jesus works his way around Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and casting out demons. And it's not just demons he's casting out. It's not just sick people he's healing. In verse number 40, a leper comes to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him and saying, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, I am willing, be cleansed. As soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. And he strictly warned him and sent him away at once and said to him, see that you say nothing to anyone, but go your way, show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing those things which Moses commanded as a testimony to them. You know, the leper was someone who was disconnected from society. So Jesus healing this man was not just a matter of taking away a debilitating illness. It was also a way of reconnecting this man with society, with his family. Jesus was moved with compassion. It was his compassion that motivated him to heal this man, and it should once again serve as an example to us. My friends, there are folks around us who are disconnected, who are disenfranchised, who are not a part, if you will. We need to reach out to those folks, to have compassion, to offer them the healing that's given through the gospel of Jesus Christ. While we may not have power to heal their illnesses, we do have power to share with them the most wonderful thing, and that's salvation in the name of Jesus Christ.
As we draw this week's lesson to a close, your neighbors at the Rock Creek Church of Christ want you to know that faith in Jesus Christ saves our souls. God has always valued faith above all other things. From Noah to Abraham to Rahab to David, we see examples of God favoring people who believe in Him. This is why God chose to save those who believe in His Son Jesus Christ. Whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. If you believe in Jesus Christ but you're not sure what to do next, please visit us at the Rock Creek Church of Christ in Ottawa, Kansas. Our church building sits 2 miles south of Walmart on Highway 59. We meet at 10 a.m. on Sundays for a Bible study, 11 a.m. for worship, and then again at 1:45 p.m. for a Bible study. We also meet on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Please join us as we worship God, encourage one another, and learn more about God's will for our lives.